This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The U.S. Army, stressed by far too many global deployments, is offering reenlistment bonuses of up to $10,000 to soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait, Army officials say. Soldiers currently in those countries and others headed there in the coming 3 months to replace them could receive lump payments of between $5,000 and $10,000 for enlisting for at least 3 years of additional Army service, the officials told reporters. The drive to keep troops came as the Army said it would prohibit soldiers serving in or rotating home from Iraq and Afghanistan this winter and spring from retiring or leaving the service for other reasons while there or for up to 90 days after returning to their home bases, otherwise known as a stop-loss order. The Halliburton Company has been cleared of any wrongdoing in a Kuwaiti fuel delivery contract that Pentagon auditors alleged overcharged the U.S. government by more than $100 million, according to the Wall Street Journal. The head of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Lieutenant General Robert Flowers, said Halliburton's Kellogg, Brown & Root unit will not need to provide any cost and pricing data relating to a contract to deliver millions of gallons of gasoline from Kuwait to Iraq, citing a previously undisclosed December 19th ruling. The paper said Flowers' ruling came after lower-level Army Corps officials concluded that KBR had provided enough information to show it had bought the fuel and its delivery to Iraq at a fair and reasonable price. An advertising contest sponsored by the progressive online advocacy website MoveOn.org, dubbed Bush in 30 Seconds, generated some 1,500 submissions from videographers criticizing President Bush and his policies. The 15 television ads selected as finalists, produced in a range of non-Beltway locations, including Santa Barbara, California, Lawrence, Kansas, and Westland, Oregon, were selected by more than 2.9 million viewers who voted on the submissions, which appeared on the organization's website. The winning ad will be chosen by a panel of progressive activists, including filmmaker Michael Moore and consultant James Carville, and announced at a gala in New York on January 12th. The ad will then air during the week of January 20th, when Bush delivers his State of the Union address. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Zambia said Monday it had given a controversial British writer 24 hours to leave the country for insulting their president, Levi Mwasa, and calling two of his ministers baboons. Home Affairs Permanent Secretary Peter Mumba said Roy Clark, a satirical writer for the privately owned Daily Post newspaper, was told Monday to leave Zambia.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit ieamericaradio.com or takebackthemedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't. I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Mixed emotions is what a doctor feels when he notices that his wife has begun eating an apple a day. These days, true conservatives are having mixed emotions about George W., who keeps strengthening the power of the federal police by weakening our right to individual privacy. The latest expansion of Big Brotherism by this so-called conservative president is a new law he pushed through Congress allowing FBI agents to go get your personal financial records without your approval or knowledge. The FBI already had been given the autocratic power to snoop through our bank records, but Bush's new law says the feds can secretly ransack the records held by our stockbrokers, car dealers, travel agencies, pawnbrokers, casinos, post offices, and all other places that do cash transactions. Oh, posh and tosh, retort the Bushites, this is only for suspected terrorists, so you have nothing to fear. Unless, of course, you're a terrorist. There's the rub. Under their infamous USA Patriot Act, terrorist has been so broadly defined that it includes practically anyone that they or future governments want to go after. They do not even have to prove to a judge that they have probable cause to think that you're a terrorist. They simply file a, quote, national security letter with themselves, then go to it. All of this is done secretly without you knowing they're digging for dirt on you. Indeed, Bush pushed his new Big Brother law through a committee that met in secrecy without bothering to hear any concerns from the public. A guy who calls himself a conservative didn't deem it worthy to consult the people as he cavalierly rewrote the Fourth Amendment genius of Madison and other authors of one of America's most basic freedoms. One Bush backer in Congress dismissed any concern by saying, "This was really just a technical change." This is Jim Hightower saying, "Holy George Orwell! When they say that expanded police power is just technical, grab your Bill of Rights and run."
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, is it the cow's revenge? Are the mad cows? Are the mad cows going to get us? We touched on this last week. Put my toe into the topic. But the reality is, I'm not the expert on mad cow disease, and so we decided to get the guy who actually wrote the book, Mad Cow USA, as well as a number of others. Toxic Sludge is good for you. Trust us, we're experts. Along with Mad Cow USA, John Stauber. He's a member of the Organic Consumers Association Policy Board, and he sits on the advisory board of Andrew Kimball's Center for Food Safety. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Tom, it's a pleasure to be on your program again.
Thanks. It's great to have you back. Recap for us in short form exactly, you know, what is mad cow disease and why should we care?
Well, this is the story that Sheldon Rampton and I wrote, of course, in our 1997 book, Mad Cow USA, Could the Nightmare Happen Here? Mad cow disease appeared for the first time ever in Britain in the mid-1980s. It's a horrible dementia disease, 100% fatal in animals or people.
It's like super fast Alzheimer's, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I guess what we could compare it to is a super fast Alzheimer's. What happens is there's an infectious protein that's been named a prion, and once an animal or human is infected with this, it can take years, or in the case of humans, even decades, before this infectious prion multiplies to the degree that it actually attacks the brain. By the time the brain is being filled with holes like Swiss cheese and with plaque and fibrils, death is maybe months away in humans. So this madness that was observed in a few British cattle in the mid-1980s was in fact the cows dying of mad cow disease. By 1988, the number of cows was rapidly increasing, and the British government realized through epidemiological research that the cows that were dying were contracting this from eating ground-up cow in their feed, fed to them as protein and fat supplements. And Britain immediately began instituting measures that they thought would cut back on that and stop the spread of the disease. What they learned was that they had to have a complete and total ban on feeding any of this slaughterhouse waste back to livestock. Anything short did not stop the spread of the disease.
Plus, the disease was getting into people. I mean, the last time I was in England, McDonald's was serving veggie burgers, and you know, I stood in line and I bought one, and a bunch of people around me were buying them. It seemed like, you know, it's like they're very popular. They're Burger King sell, you know, every little shop in every corner. It's like you know, veggie stuff is very fashionable right now.
Right. Well, it's interesting because in the mid-'80s, about 1986, the British government scientists figured out very quickly that they'd never seen this disease in cows, but they'd seen a similar disease in sheep called scrapie and people called CJD. And behind closed doors, they said, this is very worrisome because we don't know yet how this got into the cows, but maybe it's going to get into the people who eat the cows because people get a similar disease. But they spent 10 years telling the public, oh, gee, there's no way you could get this from eating infected beef. Finally, in 1996, March 20th, 1996, the British government was forced to admit that 10 young people dying of this horrible Alzheimer's-like disease called CJD had a variant that, in fact, was mad cow disease in people. The death toll now has risen to about 160. And some people, especially in the livestock industry and government, will say, well, what's the big deal? You know, we kill 5,000 people a year in the United States with contaminated food. Every year, 5,000 people in the U.S. die from contaminated
food.
Listeria
and E. coli.
Right.
And, yeah.
Totally apart from mad cow disease. So there's this callous bureaucratic attitude that says, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that this disease in people was never seen before as a result of eating mad cow until just 7 years ago. We don't know how bad it's going to get because there's an incubation period in people that can last decades.
Right. And this could be like the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. I remember back in the late 70s or early 80s, I forget which it was, when they thought at first that AIDS was caused by gay men sniffing poppers. Remember that? And then they figured out it was an infectious agent, and they said, well, it's no big deal. It's limited to a small subculture, and there's only a few hundred cases. And little did they know that there were hundreds of thousands of cases that were going to take 5 years to erupt.
Well, Britain now takes this disease so seriously that they do not use their own human blood, because we know that blood can spread and transmit the disease, but there's no test yet that can screen blood to see if this bizarre infectious disease agent called an infectious prion is in the blood. So Britain, some years ago, stopped using their own human blood. As you can imagine, at tremendous expense, they now import human blood for operations and transfusions.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So they're assuming that there's a huge nascent there's a silent epidemic all across England of people that are just going to start kicking off when these prions start activating themselves 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road.
Well, we know that 10 years from now, people are going to be dying from beef they ate in the 1980s and 1990s. But they're just not going to develop the disease for that long a time.
So let's bring this back to the United States now.
Well, here's the problem in the United States, Tom. So in 1988, scientists and government regulators watching this knew that the disease was spread through feeding slaughterhouse waste products, rendered byproducts like animal fat and animal protein and animal blood, back to livestock, specifically feeding cattle to cattle was spreading the disease. Here in the United States, we, at that time, were feeding more cattle to cattle than any country in the world. And the USDA was saying internally in 1991, gee, we should do what Britain does and stop this, ban this practice to protect human health. But that would cost the livestock and rendering industry
money. Oh, the
money.
Corporations are going to lose money if we do this. We can't have that.
It's incredible, Tom, because this is way back in 1991. I have the documents. I got them through a Freedom of Information Act investigation when I started researching this back in the 90s. The USDA actually internally decided that rather than take the steps of banning the feed practice, which was even more widespread in the U.S. than in Britain, that they knew was the steps they knew were necessary to take to protect human health, they didn't do it. because it would cost the livestock and feed industry some money. And so here
this gets back to the whole thing about people from the Cattlemen's Association. I mean the and what's her name? Veneman. Ann Veneman's main spokesperson is the former head lobbyist for the American Cattlemen's Association.
Right.
I mean, we've got this bizarre revolving door where people go out of the industry into government long enough to change the rules so that they favor industry, and then somehow they manage to get very well-paying jobs in industry as soon as they leave government. And it's just this is just so wrong. John, tell us quickly, what the PR that they're spreading is that they're saying, well, there's nothing to worry about because it's only brain and nervous system tissue, number one. Number two, we're not feeding cattle to cattle anymore. But we are feeding cattle, rendered cattle to chicken and pigs, and then we are feeding chicken feces back to cattle. And that seems like a cycle of some danger to me, and apparently there are a few others. Can you quickly recap what might be the dangers in our food supply right now?
Well, first of all, when Ann Veneman took the podium on December 23rd and said, gee, there's absolutely no scientific evidence that meat could transmit this disease, she was either ignorant or lying. Indeed, cuts of meat contain blood vessels, and cuts of meat contain nerve tissue. And we know nerve and blood are infective. What she should have said is, right, we hope that meat cuts are less infective. But to say there's absolutely no scientific evidence is a lie. Furthermore, Stanley Prusner, the Nobel laureate in this field, is doing research right now in his labs that indicate that muscle meat is much more infective than even he had thought.
Because of its high blood content?
Big problem with this disease is detection. We know it can be transmitted by blood, but there's no screening test. And I think what Prusner would say is we just haven't developed a test sensitive enough to find it in muscle meat. That doesn't mean it's not there. This is a very mysterious and invisible disease. We have to put a lot more into research. But we do know that the nerve and blood in muscle meat can spread the disease. And here's what's so stunning, Tom, is they're telling us that they banned the feeding of cattle to cattle in 97. That's simply another lie, because in 1997, we waited to finish our book, Mad Cow USA, until the FDA regulations were announced. And we pointed out in our book that blood, which can transmit these diseases in the laboratory, was exempted. And what we found out since is they exempted the blood, obviously, because in the dairy industry, calves are literally weaned on raw cattle blood plasma that's spray-dried and put into milk formula, milk replacer for calves. When they're taken off their mothers, they are put on milk formula, and it's totally legal for that to contain cattle blood protein. One of the ironies is the biggest North American manufacturer of calf formula that contains raw spray-dried cattle blood plasma is the American Protein Corporation in Ames, Iowa. Ames, Iowa is where the USDA has the lab that tests for mad cows. And all this has been known to the government, but they're not stopping it.
Yeah. So in your opinion, there is a danger in the meat supply in the United States that the USDA is not taking seriously. Is that a snapshot of what you're saying here?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the real irony here and the real tragedy is we know exactly what to do because Britain did it. Britain did it. Britain went to hell and back. Britain licked this problem. They solved the crisis. The EU nations, Italy, Japan, Germany, France, because Britain exported contaminated feed around the world, which is probably how it ended up here long ago, those countries have had mad cow disease. What they've done is they've followed Britain's lead, and they've licked it. Total ban on feeding.
Yeah.
Slaughterhouse waste and testing every animal.
But in those countries, they have caps on the amount of money that politicians can spend when they're running for re-election. They don't allow in some of those countries corporations to contribute to politicians. They don't allow revolving door policies. They don't have basically the incredible widespread corruption that we're seeing, in particular in the Bush administration. But it's not unique to it. It was there in the Clinton administration. It goes all the way back. They don't have this incredibly corrupt system that just kowtows to industry. John, I want to ask you about Steve Milloy and, you know, the attacks on the environment when we come back from this break. We're talking with John Stauber, author of Mad Cow USA. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Casey joins the hollow sound of silent people walking down the stairway to the subway in the shadows down below. following the footsteps through the neon darkened corridors of silent desperation, never speaking to a soul. The poisoned air he's breathing has the dirty smell of dying, 'cause it's never seen the sunshine and it's never felt the rain.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with John Stauber, author of Mad Cow USA, along with a couple of other real masterpieces. John and Sheldon's books are extraordinary. Toxic Sludge is good for you, and trust us, we're experts, are absolutely brilliant. John, I'd mentioned Steve Malloy before we went to the break, and you know, he's one of these guys who's out there saying, hey, there's no problem. Instead of getting into that, because we've got about 5 minutes here before the break at the bottom of the hour, and then I know you can only stay with us a few minutes after that. Two other questions that immediately come to mind, and also if any of our callers have questions, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Number one, what about milk and cheese? Is this transmissible through them? And number two, Oprah Winfrey got sued by the beef people for having somebody on her television program who was saying things not that dissimilar from what you just said on my program. Are you at risk or am I at risk?
Well, first of all, Tom, let me start out by saying that our book, Mad Cow USA, is free. Anyone can go to our website and download it into their computer. We put it up there for public education a couple of years ago.
That's great. What's the website, John?
Just go to prwatch.org, like Public Relations Watch, prwatch.org. Click on the cover of Mad Cow USA, and you'll go to a page where you can download the book for free. It's out of print right now, and we're making it available as widely as possible for public education. It'll be back in print a little later this year.
Yeah.
The question about dairy, it's thought that dairy products probably pose little, if any, risk, although the recommendation from the World Health Organization is that milk from mad cows should not be consumed. All milk contains a little blood. Again, blood is infectious. Another reason why we have to have testing and get on top of this is the scientific recommendation is that milk from mad cows should not be used. Now, the Oprah show, we tell the story about the food disparagement lawsuit against Oprah in our book. The fact is that the food industry, the Animal Feed Industry Association, this huge lobby trade association in Washington that represents the companies that are grinding up livestock and putting them into animal feed, in the early 90s lobbied with the help of the right-wing American Farm Bureau Federation into law in 13 states, including Texas, these outrageously unconstitutional state laws called food disparagement laws, which say
veggie libel laws.
Yeah, you can't say I don't eat hamburgers, I don't like them, because that's disparaging hamburgers. Those laws sat on the books. They were sort of ignored. And then on April 16th, 1996, less than a month after Britain admitted people are dying from mad cow disease, Oprah Winfrey had a fantastic program on mad cow risks in the U.S. It was almost 8 years ago now. On her program, she had Will Houston from the USDA, Gary Weber from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Yeah. We got about 30 seconds, John.
And Howard Lyman. And Howard said, we're feeding cattle to cattle in this country. If we don't stop, we're going to have mad cow disease. Oprah and Howard were sued. The media shut up, stopped covering the issue. If we had listened to Oprah, we might have done the right thing, but the food industry sued her into submission.
Yeah, and those laws are still on the books.
On the books.
Yeah, but nobody's come after you yet.
And
hopefully not us. Okay, we've got Phil in Florida. He's got a question for you. We've got Paul in Eureka, I assume, California. We'll pick up these two calls right after this short break with John Stauber, author of Mad Cow USA, which you can download for free at prwatch.org, www.prwatch.org. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The black market in wild animals has some highly motivated participants. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Illegal trade in wild animals is a booming business, and it's one that threatens the survival of some species. For example, some parrots and reptiles are virtually extinct in the wild because so many have been captured and sold as exotic pets. Activists who want to stop the illicit trade say it's an uphill battle because the criminals are highly motivated. The profits from smuggling wildlife are high, and the penalties for getting caught are often very weak. Craig Hoover is deputy director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says many live animals fetch thousands of dollars on the black market. So do skins, horns, and other body parts. Hoover says people who illegally capture wild animals can make large profits, and so can the people who work as middlemen and sellers.
It has been estimated that the wildlife trade ranks right up there very close to the drug trade and the trade in weapons, as far as the amount of profit that can be made on individual transactions.
Hoover says some developing countries punish poaching with just a small fine or a few days in jail. And he says the illegal trade was not a serious crime in some developed countries until recently.
Fortunately, that is changing, and we're seeing stricter penalties handed down, and we're seeing people going to jail for several years, where it used to be a relative slap on the wrist.
Hoover says consumers have a big role to play in stopping the illegal wildlife trade. He says it starts by asking a few questions and refusing to buy animals or animal products without knowing where they come from. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
To walk within the lines would make my life so boring. I want to know that I have been to the extreme.
And welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. If for all things Macintosh, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS. John Stauber is our guest, the author of co-author of Toxic Sludge's Good For You, Mad Cow USA. Trust us, we're experts. You can find Mad Cow USA, the publisher, short-sightedly or insanely pulled the book out of print, but it's for free. You can download it at prwatch.org. And John, is meat that's labeled organic safe? Just real quickly before we go to Phil and Paul's questions.
meat that is raised as certified organic, you're not going to have to worry about mad cow disease because under the organic regulations, the feeding practices that spread it can't be used for certified organic meat.
And the same would presumably be true of organic milks and cheeses and other meat,
right.
Other dairy
yeah.
products.
Right, yeah, and so here's another good reason to look for certified organic food.
Yeah, and ideally locally certified organic so that
right.
you know the source.
Yeah, the more you know about who's producing your food, the better.
There you go. Phil in Florida has a question for you, John. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, Phil, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, there's one issue that you haven't brought up, and of course, the Bush administration says there is no inflation. But I got news for you. I don't know about anywhere else, but here in Florida, I was at the grocery store. Sirloin steak, okay, is on sale for $5.95 at Albertsons. Chicken is now $4.95 a pound. Now what they call it, London broil, okay, is $4 to $5 a pound.
What's your point, Phil?
I remember when Clinton was president, the price of these products was half of that or less than half.
Yeah, I'm at a bit of a disadvantage here because I don't eat or buy any of those products that you've named. Has there been just a sudden spike in price since this mad cow thing came out?
Well, are you asking me?
No, since it's been out. I'm talking about since Bush has been president.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it, Phil. Thank you. I appreciate the call. You know, yes, we can agree that Bush's economic policies have been a disaster. I want to get back to mad cow disease. We'll go to Paul in, is that Eureka, California, Paul?
Nice talk to you. I appreciate
hey, Paul.
A program that advocates truth. I just wanted to bring up a thing. My aunt in 1998, 1230, died in Willows, California of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see people saying that nobody's ever had it. Right after that, on a national news wire, a lady in Hemet, California, I don't have her name or anything, also died of CJD. So that got me on a quest to find out more about it, and I'll just share a book that's been written is called Deadly Feast, which mm-hmm. which Creutzfeldt-Jakob are two people that actually isolated that in 1948 with the Foray people in New Guinea. They
right.
they actually cannibalized their dead, etc. But it is connected somehow to scrapie and
yeah.
sheep.
Yeah, actually... and these infectious prions. You raise a good point, Paul. I appreciate
old was
that.
Your aunt, Paul?
My aunt was over about 70.
Uh-huh.
I'm 70. My uncle just died. He died at 88. Mm-hmm. We've eaten game through the years. We've all ate at the same table. Just all of a sudden, she started losing her vision. And a week later, she was comatose. And about a week later after that, she died.
Yeah.
Wow.
They left her lay over in Sacramento for 7 days, so Walter had her cremated. And I understand this organism can't be destroyed by fire or anything. And so what did they do with her? They put her in Butts Lake in Northern California next to Lake Almanor. Well, that's great, you know.
Well,
yeah.
You know, another thing we need to do in this country is we need to have all forms of CJD. That sounds like it might be what the scientists would call sporadic CJD. Any person who's thought to be dying of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, and people die of this every year in the United States, we have to have that reported. We have to keep track, a registry of CJD deaths. We have to have autopsies of suspected CJD deaths so that we can find out what a real incidence is of the disease and whether or not it's increasing. My organization and the Humane Farming Association and the Center for Food Safety petitioned the Centers for Disease Control and every one of the 50 states way back in 1999 to make these human cases of mad cow-type disease reportable, and we were flatly turned down. Not only are we not adequately testing the livestock, we're not adequately testing the people.
And people who die from Alzheimer's. I mean, there was a study at the University of Pennsylvania, as I recall, or one of the universities in Pennsylvania, I don't have the study in front of me right now, but they did autopsies on a bunch of Alzheimer's patients and found that some significant percentage of them, my recollection was 5%, actually had CJ, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Right, we've got 4 to 5 million people in this country with a dementia disease called Alzheimer's, and that could mask a lot of CJD in our elderly
yeah.
population.
Yeah, okay. John, I know you got to go. Can you take one more quick call? We got Kay in Santa Fe.
Sure, Tom.
Okay, Kay, you're on the air. Let's make it quick here.
I like to offer the idea that what you all are talking about are symptoms of a much, much, much greater global problem, and that is the bad sides of capitalism. We are doing everything for the sake of profit, for the corporations, for the manufacturers, for the producers. And the notion that was put forth by Grider in The Soul of Capitalism is that every product produced should have cranked into it the cost to the environment and to the population. Then we would screen out a lot of these products that are unnecessary, that are detrimental, because the costs would be just prohibitive. And I would like to see that idea cranked into the food industry.
Okay, thank you for that comment, Kay. I appreciate it. Last thoughts, John?
Well, one of the ironies, Tom, is that I predict that in the days and weeks ahead, we're going to see the big corporations in the U.S. food industry demand subsidies and demand support for...
Like the airlines did.
Yeah, and the irony, of course, is these are the corporations that put the food disparagement laws on the books. These are the corporations that have controlled USDA and FDA's policies, and now they've got us into this mess, and they're going to come and say, gee, could we have some money? We're hurting economically.
Yeah, okay. Well, John, we're past the time. I know that you said you had to go. I want to thank you for being with us this long.
Thank you, Tom. I very much appreciate it.
Okay, have a good one now.
You too. Bye-bye.
1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. Jim in Chicago, I'm sorry I couldn't get your call. Oh, Jim just hung up. Okay. And by the way, John, I'm not seeing Jim on the board here. So, mad cow disease, it's an issue. It's a concern. This is really a legitimate concern. And we've done it now. We've had so many, you know, inquiries, emails, postings to the message board. What do you think about it? Bunch of things for today. Here's a note that was sent to me, and I thought it was just so well said. Ken, I'm not sure where he's located, sent this thing to me. He says, a car company can move its factories to Mexico and claim it's a free market. A computer company can outsource its help desk to India and claim it's a free market. A toy company can outsource to a Chinese subcontractor and claim it's a free market. A major bank can incorporate in Bermuda to avoid taxes, as Ken Halliburton, and claim it's a free market. But heaven help the elderly who dare to buy their prescription drugs from a Canadian pharmacy. That's un-American. That was brilliant. So, here now, the question about mad cow disease. With the scare over mad cow disease escalating, the New York Times reports that the beef industry and its allies in Congress and the Bush administration are, quote, being forced to accept regulation they have long fought. As the story notes, the current mad cow, and I'm quoting from the New York Times now, the current mad cow crisis reveals how government regulators sided with companies that adhered to those methods and operations, those methods being the ones that could promote mad cow disease. And that influence is still reaping benefits. USA Today reports that even as a third cattle herd is quarantined, quote, the FDA has yet to close loopholes in mad cow regulations, end quote, that would prevent, quote, the use of cattle remains in animal feed, end quote, the very practice that spreads mad cow disease. Now, how does this happen? The New York Times reports that the financial connections between the Bush administration, conservatives, and the beef industry might explain the White House's consistent opposition to better food regulation. This is from a report by the Center for American Progress. As the story notes, I'm quoting from the New York Times story now. As the story notes, quote, cattle and livestock interests have given almost $22 million to political campaigns since the 1990 election, with three-quarters going to Republicans, end quote. Many say the relationship, quoting the New York Times again, improved with the election of President Bush, who was the top recipient of campaign money from the industry in his 2000 election and again this year. For all that money, my friends, the beef industry is receiving serious help in defeating legislation as the Center for American Progress says, aimed at improving food safety. On June 13th of 2001, conservatives on the House Appropriations Committee voted down an amendment by Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat of Connecticut, that would have provided an additional $50 million for the Food Safety and Inspection Service to increase the inspection of imported meat. They said, no, we don't want to spend no more. We don't. No, we're not going to bloat the bureaucracy of the government by having our meat inspectors inspect meat. No, we can't have a big government. No, we can hire a few more people to listen into your emails, but no, we're not going to inspect the meat. According to Congress Daily on May 11th of 2002, an amendment by U.S. Representative Marcy Kaptur, a Democrat of Ohio, and I'm probably mispronouncing it, Kaptur, would have provided $35 million for the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service to increase protections against foot and mouth and mad cow disease, end quote. This is an appropriation that was put forth by this Congresswoman, or Congressman, I'm not sure, Marcy, I'm assuming Congresswoman, on the 11th of May to explicitly increase protections against mad cow disease. At that time, Congressman Kaptur said it was a miracle the United States had not suffered an outbreak given the problems this year in Europe, quote unquote. Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman Henry Bonilla, conservative Republican of Texas, said, quote, there was no need for that amendment. And the amendment then failed on a 35-27 vote. The wonders of a Republican Congress, eh? According to the Washington Times editorial on December 23rd of 2002, U.S. Representative David Obey, a Democrat of Wisconsin, claimed that the administration is standing in the way of hundreds of millions of dollars in added spending, including $239 million to cover expanded FDA inspections of imported food. It turns out that we are only inspecting 2% of our imported food. Now, why is this significant? Well, if you buy your beef in fast food restaurants, many of them are serving imported beef. It's cheap stuff down in South America. You know, it's one of the big problems. One of the, you know, why they're clearing jungles and forests and things like that is to create. I see Jim in Chicago is back. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Jim.
Hi. I'm just amazed at these people that think that they're Republicans and right wing can vote for a guy that's attacking the unions and taking their rights away with Patriot Acts and illegal wars and corporations running the country. You know, now we've got mad cow. You know, how much more are the American people going to take from this illegitimate president?
Well, you got to understand, Jim. These guys. These guys believe in a religion, a very specific religion, and that religion, as we had this libertarian guy on yesterday, you know, it's the religion of capitalism and free enterprise. Now, in and of itself, capitalism and free enterprise are just fine as parts of the puzzle. You know, as parts of society, as a way for people to make a living, you know, all this, you know, wonderful. But when the profit motive preempts we the people protecting our own commons, you have something that's like cancer. And that's what's happened, is a cancer has taken over this nation.
Well, I just don't see how the right, I mean, these people, they must not have a conscience. I mean, they have families. They live on this earth. This Republican Party is destroying this country and the earth. And it's just like that their followers just don't give a damn.
Well, I am sure, Jim, that there are some cynics among them who are willing to trade off their multi-million-dollar salaries for what they know to be the health of others. I mean, the tobacco industry, if nothing else, has demonstrated that to us. But I also think that there's a lot of people who simply bought their line, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, they believe what these people are saying, and they've been just sucked in. They've been listening to right wing talk radio long enough that they've, you know, getting just, you know, fractions of the truth and distortions and lies and they've just come to think, hey, this is the way it is. It should be that corporations are running things because they're more efficient. Even though Medicare is administered at a 1-2% cost, and health insurance that goes through for-profit companies is anywhere from 15-25 or 30% cost, because they have to pay profits plus you know, dividends and CEO salaries and corporate jets and blah-de-blah-de-blah. It's just nuts. Jim, I agree with you.
Media and this administration has swept all of this stuff under the carpet. No one talks about it. You got the bewildered herd that's just going along with all this stuff. And, you know, I just feel sorry for this country and what's getting ready to happen to it. And, I love your show so much, but I think it's time, Tom, that you take the gloves off and go after these people. Now, you do a very good job at it.
Well, thank you, Jim. I think that I am to a large extent. And I'm just not willing to impugn anybody's humanity. I really think that a lot of people do wrong things for what they think are the right reasons. We just have to educate them. I thought it was fascinating to see Howard Dean the other day saying that the problem is that corporations are running America. There's change coming. This is Tom Hartman, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talks, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The Tom Hartman
Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You don't know what's going on. You've been away for far too long. You can't come back and think you are still mad. You're out of touch, my baby.
And welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You know, MoveOn.org is taking some flack from former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie, who is now the head of the Republican National Committee, appropriately. And former Enron lobbyist Gillespie is all bent out of shape because of a couple of ads that were on the MoveOn.org website that seemed to suggest a connection between the way that Hitler somewhat illegitimately rose to power using the bombing of the Reichstag, the parliament building, as a what Hitler referred to as a terrorist act, as the rationale to pass, just a few months after the Reichstag building was bombed, to pass the Act for the Protection of the German People, which suspended habeas corpus and gave the government the power to listen in on people's telephone conversations and open their mail. That there was some parallel between that and what George Bush was doing. And the Republicans are just all, I mean, they just have their panties in a wad over this thing. They are all upset. And so in the next hour, what we're going to do is, first of all, MoveOn kind of caved, and they pulled those two ads, the two that had something to do with the Nazis, out of their circulation. But it's a big contest that they've been running. And thousands of people have submitted ads, and ultimately it's going to get down to just one ad or just one or two ads, and then they're going to run these things. None of these ads have actually been run yet. I mean, even though the RNC is freaking out, none of these ads have been seen on any television shows or television stations anywhere. But you can see the actual, the final 15 contestants at MoveOn.org. And we're going to play the audio from some of those ads in our next hour. We've put up at TomHartman.com on our message board. There's a thread started there where you can comment on them. And, of course, you can go to MoveOn.org and comment on them. And just to wrap up this mad cow stuff, did you know that in Japan, all cattle slaughtered for food, and in Europe, all such cattle over 30 months and older are tested for BSE? Every single cow that's slaughtered is tested for mad cow disease. And we're testing, we have in the United States 200,000 downer cattle a year, and we only test 20,000 cattle, period. Time for a change. Time to wake up and do something right. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
It's coming from a field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational, and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why
me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof.
Yeah. I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The United States will be slaughtering hundreds of cattle as part of its investigation into an outbreak of bovine spongiform encephalopathy. The cattle are linked to the cow that tested positive for the disease in Washington State on December 23rd. In one herd, 450 animals will be killed. They are all calves. One is the calf of the infected animal. But there are no records showing which animal is the calf they're looking for, so all will be killed. U.S. Chief Veterinarian Ron DeHaven says the animals will be slaughtered at a plant that's currently closed. None of the animals will enter the human food chain, nor will any of the product from those animals go into a rendered product. The U.S. Army, stressed by far too many global deployments, is offering reenlistment bonuses of up to $10,000 to soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait, Army officials say. Soldiers currently in those countries and others headed there in the coming 3 months to replace them could receive lump payments of between $5,000 and $10,000 for enlisting for at least 3 years of additional Army service, the officials told reporters. The drive to keep troops came as the Army said it would prohibit soldiers serving in or rotating home from Iraq and Afghanistan this winter and spring from retiring or leaving the service for other reasons while there or for up to 90 days after returning to their home bases, otherwise known as a stop-loss order. An advertising contest sponsored by the progressive online advocacy website MoveOn.org, dubbed Bush in 30 Seconds, generated some 1,500 submissions from videographers criticizing President Bush and his policies. The 15 television ads selected as finalists, produced in a range of non-Beltway locations, including Santa Barbara, California, Lawrence, Kansas, and Westland, Oregon, were selected by more than 2.9 million viewers who voted on the submissions, which appeared on the organization's website. The winning ad will be chosen by a panel of progressive activists, including filmmaker Michael Moore, and consultant James Carville, and announced at a gala in New York on January 12th. The ad will then air during the week of January 20th, when Bush delivers his State of the Union address. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509. Or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A New Mexico funeral home owner received the surprise of his career when a man pronounced dead at a hospital came back to life just before he was to be embalmed. The owner of the Muffley Funeral Home in Clovis, New Mexico, said he noticed Felipe Padilla breathing when the man pronounced dead at a hospital was being transferred to his facility on Wednesday. Padilla, 94, was rushed back to the same hospital but did not recover.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Mixed emotions is what a doctor feels when he notices that his wife has begun eating an apple a day. These days, true conservatives are having mixed emotions about George W., who keeps strengthening the power of the federal police by weakening our right to individual privacy. The latest expansion of Big Brotherism by this so-called conservative president is a new law he pushed through Congress allowing FBI agents to go get your personal financial records without your approval or knowledge. The FBI already had been given the autocratic power to snoop through our bank records, but Bush's new law says the feds can secretly ransack the records held by our stockbrokers, car dealers, travel agencies, pawnbrokers, casinos, post offices, and all other places that do cash transactions. Oh, posh and tosh, retort the Bushites. This is only for suspected terrorists, so you have nothing to fear. Unless, of course, you're a terrorist. There's the rub. Under their infamous USA Patriot Act, terrorist has been so broadly defined that it includes practically anyone that they or future governments want to go after. They do not even have to prove to a judge that they have probable cause to think that you're a terrorist. They simply file a, quote, national security letter with themselves, then go to it. All of this is done secretly without you knowing they're digging for dirt on you. Indeed, Bush pushed his new Big Brother law through a committee that met in secrecy without bothering to hear any concerns from the public. A guy who calls himself a conservative didn't deem it worthy to consult the people as he cavalierly rewrote the Fourth Amendment genius of Madison and other authors of one of America's most basic freedoms. One Bush backer in Congress dismissed any concern by saying this was really just a technical change. This is Jim Hightower saying, holy George Orwell, when they say that expanded police power is just technical, grab your Bill of Rights and run.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to our program. Hey, did you know that Walmart has its own set of EPA regulations? There's different rules for Walmart than for the rest of us. Now, what is that, and why would that be? Why is it that other companies have one set of standards and Walmart has another? And why is it that John Peter Suarez, the chief of enforcement at the Environmental Protection Agency, just resigned his post to take a job as the general counsel, the lawyer, for a division of Walmart? This is the third departure of a high-level enforcement official in the last 30 days. And we find that in 2003... penalties enforced by the EPA were already down 25% over 2002, and they were down, you know, and echoing all the way back. Of course, George W.'s history in Texas tells us that environmental regulation and protection is always going to be subordinate to corporate interest. But this is particularly remarkable, what has happened in the last couple of years here with Walmart. The move... this guy, John Peter Suarez, leaving the EPA and going to work for Walmart, highlights ongoing concerns, says David Sirota, the Center for American Progress, highlights ongoing concerns about the EPA's enforcement, or lack thereof, of environmental violations by Walmart. Specifically, Walmart and its subcontractors have repeatedly failed to control silt runoff from their construction sites. The EPA has identified urban runoff as one of the leading causes of water quality
or water quality degradation in the United States because it can transport pollutants like oil and pesticides into nearby storm drains, sewer systems, and ultimately into streams and waterways. In 2001, Walmart was allowed to negotiate a settlement with the EPA for violations of the Clean Water Act in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Massachusetts. According to a report in the Dallas Morning News, that settlement created a, quote, Walmart-only inspection protocol, end quote. James Graham, the EPA's top water pollution enforcement inspector, said the agreement would require the EPA to alter a Walmart before beginning the inspection of any site. In other words, come in and clean the place up, and then we're going, you know, and give a Walmart representative an oral overview of, quote, all the facts and observations of the inspector, end quote, before leaving. Graham wrote in an email that the restrictions were so detailed that, quote, Walmart might avoid enforcement by complaining that an inspector didn't follow the unique procedures, end quote. Graham's complaint led the EPA to reconsider its settlement agreement. The Bush administration's... Now, where did this come from? Why is the Bush administration doing this? Well, it turns out, not coincidentally, that Walmart is one of the major campaign contributors to George Bush and his buddies. They gave over $50,000 in soft money to Bush and his allies, not to mention other individual executives donating over $185,000 in soft money at the same time. On top of that, Walmart's CEO, David Glass, has contributed hugely to conservative causes. So, and no doubt, the way the laws are written, I mean, this is the stuff that's publicly known. There is much more where that comes from. Let's listen to some of these ads that are on MoveOn.org. This is one called, What Are We Teaching Our Children? And what you see in the ad is a series of kids behind a podium that says, as I recall, President of the United States. I don't have the video here in front of me, just the audio. I did watch them yesterday afternoon. And here are these kids talking about what we are teaching our children, essentially.
If elected, I'll lie about weapons of mass destruction as a pretext to invade another country.
I'll call myself an environmentalist and gut clean air standards.
Our allies will go from respecting us to hating us, and I don't care.
I'll leave no child behind, unless they can't afford it.
I promise to keep you in a state of fear and anxiety, so you never question what we're doing.
And if you do, we'll call you unpatriotic.
Come on.
It's remarkable. That one's called What Are We Teaching Our Children? And by the way, if you want to comment or vote on these, MoveOn.org is the website, and also at TomHartmann.com on our message board, we've got, we have some of these, we've got a thread started where you can comment on these things. Let me just play one more for you. This is called In My Country. This is a particularly high-impact one. And if you have thoughts on these things or you want to, you know, vent a little bit about this, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Here's the In My Country. Yeah, this starts out with a picture of a fellow standing in front of a chain-link fence, and he has dark skin. He looks, for example, Indian or Pakistani, something Middle Eastern perhaps, North African. You can't quite tell, but it's, you know, one of those guys that would be on George Bush's watch list, right? And he's talking about In My Country, which is the name of his ad.
In my country, a group of religious extremists are reshaping the government to promote their own agenda and morality.
The government can keep a list of everyone I call, and they do not need a judge's permission.
Our citizens are seized and held in prison without being charged of a crime, without the right to a trial, and without a lawyer. Why should you care about what is happening to my country? Because my country is the United States of America.
Powerful stuff there. It's quite remarkable. Trucker Jose has called 1-800-TALK-YES in Texas. On the line, hey, Jose, welcome to the Tom Hartmann program.
Hi, this is Josh, actually.
Oh, Josh, I'm sorry. It's misspelled here on the screen. Hey, Josh.
I just wanted to thank you for your show. I'm an all-American truck driver. I got American flags in my window stickers, and I love your show. I was listening to you on Sirius, and just keep right on doing what you're doing, man. Some of us are out here listening to you.
Well, thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. I consider myself a patriotic American as well, and I respect our flag and its traditions. And what I'm seeing is that these people who call themselves conservatives today, there's a few who are left over who still carry the values of Barry Goldwater and Dwight Eisenhower, but this modern bunch, they are spitting on the memory of American conservatives and damaging and destroying our country by turning it over to these multinational corporations and putting government up for sale to the highest bidder. It's just an absolute tragedy. So I appreciate your comments. Josh, thank you very much for calling. Here's how it goes along. You know, we've got the U.S. Department of Agriculture pulling back on rules to protect us from mad cow disease because of lobbying by the industry. So you got the Agriculture Department advocating for the agriculture industry rather than protecting our agriculture. You've got the Food and Drug Administration advocating for the drug companies. I mean, you got the FDA saying that we shouldn't, you know, yes, free trade all around the world. We should have absolute free trade unless you're a person in America who wants to buy your pharmaceuticals from Canada. Then you shouldn't have free trade. And why? Well, the FDA says they may not be safe. There's a safety issue. And I wonder, you know, where are the dead Canadians? There are none. There are no dead Canadians. Nobody in Canada is dying from their drugs. So, anyhow, now it's gone to the Labor Department. This in today's newspaper, story by Lee Strope of the Associated Press, Labor Department tells employers how to beat the system. Now, the Labor Department was set up, as I recall, it was set up during FDR's administration. I may be wrong on that, but I think it was set up in the 30s. And it was set up, I know, to protect the interests of labor and to advocate for the interests of labor, to be the part of the government that went to bat for the workers when they were getting harmed or when they were in harm's way. And now we have the Labor Department working again, on behalf of the big corporations and against labor. Hear this story from the Associated Press. This is mind-boggling. A proposed Labor Department rule suggests ways employers can avoid paying overtime to some of the 1.3 million low-income workers who would become eligible this year. You get this? 1.3 million people under these new rules that the Bush administration is going to put into place. The unions are saying more than 8 million people are going to lose access to overtime. The Bush administration is saying 1.3 million people are actually going to gain access to overtime. The truth from reading these things is, I think, solidly with the labor unions, that roughly 8 million people are going to lose access to their overtime. But even if the administration was right, and 1.3 million people are now going to get, required to be paid overtime when they work more than 40 hours a week, and they weren't required to before. They are already publishing now the little trick of how to get around this rule so that you don't have to pay that 1.3 million people overtime. Here, we're not saying anybody should do any of this, said Labor Department spokesman Ed Frank. We're not saying you should do this. We're just saying, here's how. New overtime regulations were proposed in March after employers complained. These poor employers who the big corporate contributions they make cost so much money to give all this money to politicians that they just can't afford to pay overtime. I mean, you got to know this. New overtime regulations were proposed in March after employers complained they were being saddled with costly lawsuits filed by workers who claimed they were being unfairly denied overtime. Oh, my, you're kidding. Workers are suing because they're not being paid, and therefore we have to change the law? It's a terrible thing. Overtime pay for the 1.3 million low-income workers has been a selling tool for the Bush administration in trying to ease concerns in Congress about millions of higher-paid workers becoming ineligible. But the Labor Department, in a summary of its plan published last March, suggests how employers can avoid paying overtime to those newly eligible low-income workers. And here's a quote from the Labor Department. Quote, most employers affected by the proposed rule would be expected to choose the most cost-effective compensation adjustment method. The department said, for some companies, the financial impact would be, quote, near zero, end quote. In other words, what they're saying is, that raising workers' salaries to a new $22,100 annual threshold makes them ineligible for overtime pay, or you can suppress the number of hours that they work, or you can, and here's the trick, see, if somebody with overtime would earn $22,100 normally, then you just give them a raise to that, and then you no longer have to pay them overtime, but you can still require them to work even more overtime. I mean, even beyond that, making a pay adjustment that results in virtually, now this is a quote from the Labor Department, making a payroll adjustment that results in virtually no or only a minimal increase in labor costs, end quote, would solve the problem for people. Eventually, employees would be working more hours for the same pay. Mark Wilson, a lawyer for the Communications Workers of America, says cutting workers' pay to avoid overtime is illegal. But the lawyer for the Labor Department says, no, that's not the case. He says it's illegal if you do it over, you know, back and forth. If you make a change week to week. But a one-time change is not illegal. In other words, you simply change the policy. He says, unless there's a contract, there's no legal rule prohibiting an employer from doing this. This is why unionization, which involves contracts between employers and employees, is so important. This is Tom Hartman. Kevin in Tampa, hang on the line. We'll pick up your call right after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Speaking from behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Trisha in our chat room has posted a couple of really cool quotes. By the way, if you want to get to our chat room, just go to tomhartman.com and click on the chat button, and that'll take you to a forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button there, and boom, you're in. There's a whole bunch of folks in there. Trisha's quotes, here's one from Dwight D. Eisenhower. People that values its privileges above its principles soon loses both. And from Theodore Roosevelt, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. I'm not going to go so far as to say that must be the case with some. Well, yeah, I'd say probably that's true of Tom DeLay, if nothing else. Anyhow, we got Kevin in Tampa, Florida on the line. Hey, Kevin, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, you are on the air.
Happy New Year, Tom.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and the same to you.
And it'll be happy if 10 months from today we have a new real president-elect.
Yeah, I do not disagree.
And, yeah, a new Senate and Congress.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah, I think the new Senate and Congress, frankly, are even more important. If George Bush stays in office, but the Democrats can get either the House or the Senate, then they can begin investigating some of these things that have been happening. And it is his administration will crumble just like Nixon's did, because it is far more corrupt.
Absolutely.
And the crimes that he has committed make Nixon's crimes look like schoolyard stuff.
He makes Nixon look like a saint. Listen, what I really called you about was that I read that article this morning from AP on Yahoo about the
Labor Department,
the overtime, yeah.
And
you know, something occurred to me on Christmas Eve that brings a lot of this in focus and actually points out how right Howard Dean was. He just used the wrong words of the Confederate flag. I live in Tampa, Florida. This is one of those stupid right-to-work states, and you're familiar, I'm sure, and most of the listeners are, with that big grocery strike out in California.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was at a, incidentally, with my son who lives in Los Angeles, I was at an Albertsons here in Tampa. And they had a sign up that they were open on Christmas Day. And I said something to the cashier about it. I said, who did they get to work on Christmas? And she said, well, the managers and some of the people. I said, oh, I guess they're paying like double or triple time. She said, no, just regular, you know, just regular time. They got cashiers who live close. I said, somebody want me to work on Christmas. They're going to pay me like triple time. And I said, that's why you need a union. And she goes, a union? I don't want to lose my job like those people in California.
Yeah.
See, what they're doing
this is
the hell out of these people.
Go ahead, Kim.
Get away with this.
Yeah, this started in the United States with Taft-Hartley in 1948, and
right,
as I recall, you know, with the whole right to work thing that caused
14
yeah, that caused essentially a new split in the United States. It was like a new Mason-Dixon line. What it allowed was certain states to compete with other states by changing the rules of the game between labor and management and corporations, and so we had, you know, a mini version in the United States domestically of what we have right now with the United States and China. And then, of course, Clinton came along, well, Reagan came along and proposed NAFTA and GATT, and then Bush tried it, and then Clinton did it. And now we've got
you know, this has gone into the extremes. And you would think that by now people would start to wake up and say, hey, you know, it was a mistake when it started back in 48. It was 48, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was a mistake when it started back in 48, and it's been a mistake ever since, and internationalizing the mistake has just made it that much more conspicuous that we need to have...
About this, Tom, what gets more is this is one of the things that the Republicans get the white people, the poorer whites in the South, to vote Republican totally against their interests.
Yeah, because they don't understand it. Kevin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The black market in wild animals has some highly motivated participants. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Illegal trade in wild animals is a booming business, and it's one that threatens the survival of some species. For example, some parrots and reptiles are virtually extinct in the wild because so many have been captured and sold as exotic pets. Activists who want to stop the illicit trade say it's an uphill battle because the criminals are highly motivated. The profits from smuggling wildlife are high, and the penalties for getting caught are often very weak. Craig Hoover is Deputy Director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says many live animals fetch thousands of dollars on the black market. So do skins, horns, and other body parts. Hoover says people who illegally capture wild animals can make large profits, and so can the people who work as middlemen and sellers.
It has been estimated that the wildlife trade ranks right up there, very close to the drug trade and the trade in weapons, as far as the amount of profit that can be made on individual transactions.
Hoover says some developing countries punish poaching with just a small fine or a few days in jail. And he says the illegal trade was not a serious crime in some developed countries until recently.
Fortunately, that is changing, and we're seeing stricter penalties handed down, and we're seeing people going to jail for several years, where it used to be a relative slap on the wrist.
Hoover says consumers have a big role to play in stopping the illegal wildlife trade. He says it starts by asking a few questions and refusing to buy animals or animal products without knowing where they come from. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And she was lying in the grass, and she could hear the
Welcome back. Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman. Let's go back to some of these ads on MoveOn.org, the ones that former Enron lobbyist and now head of the Republican National Committee, Ed Gillespie, is so hysterical about that he's put actually a couple of them on the Republican National Committee's website so he can point out, oh, those terrible people. None of these ads have ever run anywhere. They're on the MoveOn.org website. You can vote on them. You can offer their opinions on them. You can also drop by TomHartman.com and comment our message board. We'll be glad to pass anything along to them. MoveOn.org is doing a wonderful service, I think, to us in doing this. This is grassroots development of a campaign. This is something truly extraordinary. Here's an ad that's running. This is, again, just the audio. These are all actually television ads. So there's a video component of this. But here's an ad. It's called Imagine.
Imagine a world where corporations choose leaders, put them in power,
and have them rewrite laws to increase profit.
Imagine a world where corporations start wars
to create increased demand for their products.
Imagine a world where the news media,
owned by these corporations,
only tells the public what they want them to know.
Imagine a president who sells out his people and their environment to boost the wealth of a few. Unbelievable? It should be.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It should be. Remarkable. Here's just one more. These things are just extraordinary. I just have to share them with you. This one's called Gone in 30 Seconds.
When Bush got into the driver's seat, he took over the largest surplus in American history and turned that surplus into the largest deficit in history. The U.S. economy has lost 3.3 million jobs, the most since the Great Depression. Then Bush drove us into war with Iraq. We're losing lives. We're hemorrhaging money. And these costs are driving our country closer to bankruptcy. Just where does George Bush think he's taking us?
Yeah, good question. A somewhat rhetorical question, but an excellent question. And one that... Yeah, we'll find out. We'll see how things are going here. Did you know that if you shop at Home Depot, that you're helping to fund the George Bush campaign? This is amazing. Home Depot, America's do-it-yourself Bush fundraising store. In the energy bill, there's this little thing buried in there that would mean about $48 million for Home Depot and a few other large retailers. And Home Depot is a major contributor to President Bush's campaign. Both executives, employees, and their families. They've given more than $1.5 million since 1999. Raising a few questions. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-825-5937. And Rama in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Rama, welcome to the program.
Greetings. I just wanted to say I love what you're doing, but I think that, like the other man said, the kid gloves have to come off. These guys are war criminals. They deserve to be tried, convicted, and executed right now. See ya.
Okay, thanks, Rama. I appreciate your comment. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. I'm all in favor. I am all in favor of holding George Bush and this administration accountable for the lies they told the American people and the deaths that resulted from them. I'm entirely in favor of that. Bill in Ohio is on the line. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Tom, hi. Am I on?
You are.
Great show. I just bought your book on equal protection, and I wanted to recommend it to all of your listeners.
Well, thank you, Bill.
And I've been going over it. And that's what I called about. I don't know what your topic is today, but I got a little confused on a detail on Santa Clara versus Southern Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Would you feel like disambiguating the detail?
Sure, no, it's no problem. Let me just tell our listeners what you're talking about.
Okay.
In 1886, up until 1886, everybody understood that when the Constitution said persons, it meant human beings. And right after the Civil War, the 14th Amendment, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were passed to free the slaves. And the 14th Amendment says, it starts out by declaring that we're talking about human beings. It starts out by saying, all persons who are born or naturalized in the United States are citizens thereof. And so you would think, you know, of course, it's talking about human beings. And then it goes on to say, no person shall be denied equal protection under the law.
And so you would think, you know, it's talking about human beings. Well, the railroads back in the 1880s, this is it actually started in the late 1870s, but during the probably the second most corrupt Republican administration in history, the Ulysses S. Grant administration, his corruption was extraordinary. It was so extraordinary that when he wanted to run for a third term, his own Republican Party refused to nominate him. But anyhow, during that reign, they were corrupted by the railroad bribery scandals. The railroads were bribing everybody in sight. And the railroads started arguing before the Supreme Court that these laws that constrained their ability to do things like buy off politicians, back then what we call lobbying today was called bribery and influencing, and it was a felony, among other things, that these laws were unconstitutional because corporations had traditionally, under English and American law, been referred to at law as artificial persons, and human beings were called natural persons. And the 14th Amendment says no person, not no natural person, but no person. And so the railroads went in and started arguing before the Supreme Court that they didn't have to pay the taxes. You know, if the tax rate was different in two different counties, that was just illegal discrimination under the 14th Amendment that prevents illegal discrimination, and on and on and on. I mean, they went through all these arguments. And finally, in 1886, according to history, the Supreme Court ruled that corporations are, in fact, persons. And ever since then, corporations have had privacy rights under the Fourth Amendment, free speech rights under the First Amendment, anti-discrimination rights. You can't stop a Walmart under the 14th Amendment. And you know, you can't take property under the Fifth Amendment, and so on and so forth. Turns out the court never ruled any such thing. The court reporter wrote it in the headnote, a commentary on the case. But when you actually read the case, the court ruled the opposite. So having laid out that history now, what's your question, Bill?
Yeah, it seems like it's clear that Davis inserted the statement. What I'm unclear about is at what point Waite was supposed to have made the statement. Was it after, you know, proceedings that happened? Was there any discussion in the middle of the proceedings?
Yeah. Well, the only record that's left to us, we have a few sentences from Judge Sanderson's arguments. He was the railroad's lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And Delphin M. Delmas, who also, by the way, saved the redwoods of California. He was a Democratic activist from California, and he argued the Santa Clara case on behalf of Santa Clara County. He actually published in 1909 a collection of his speeches, which includes his entire pleadings before the Supreme Court. And I have a copy of that. And, you know, it's excerpted. Pieces of it are excerpted from that in that book. And when you read that, it's really clear that about the middle of his arguments, he said, we are not disputing that corporations can claim the word person. They have, you know, they have to have some legal status. They have to be able to own property. They have to be able to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. He said, what we're saying is that if you want to call them persons under the provisions of the 14th Amendment and make them and bring them up to the status of human beings under the Bill of Rights, then they should have the right to marry. They shouldn't be able to own each other because they shouldn't be able to have, you know, persons can't own persons under the law. They should have, I mean, and he said, and this would produce a situation that's ludicrous in the extreme. And presumably that was the point at which the Chief Justice, Morrison Remick Waite, said, yes, we all agree here, corporations are persons. That is to say, they have, you know, personhood status. But let's get on with the argument about the tax issues here, because the case was about whether or not Santa Clara County had the right to assess the fence posts along the Santa Clara County, along the railroad's line.
That's what the ruling was about in the end.
Yeah, so it's pretty conspicuous that when Waite said, yes, we, you know, and in fact, if you look on my website, there's the actual letter, the court reporter, John Chandler Bancroft Davis, who was also a former railroad president, wrote a letter to Chief Justice Waite, saying, did I correctly hear you say corporations are persons under the law? And then Waite writes him back in his own hand on his own letterhead. And we found this in the Library of Congress. This thing, I don't think anybody had seen this thing for 100 years, with the one exception of Howard J. Graham, who wrote a Vanderbilt Law Review piece on this in the 1960s that nobody ever seemed to have noticed. And here in his own hand, the Chief Justice says, yes, I said that, but it's not relevant because, I'm paraphrasing here, it's not relevant because we didn't decide the constitutional issues on the matter because we just decided who could assess the fence posts. So he just lays it out. that the Supreme Court never said corporations should have human rights. And yet, to this day, the corporations are asserting that they should have human rights. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Do you think that Wade actually made the statement the court does not wish to hear during proceedings? Or
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he was trying to shut up Sanderson.
So on page 104, the reason I got confused is initially it says, moments before the Supreme Court was to render the decision in the now famous case,
yeah.
Justice Wade. So then I got the impression that it must have happened after everything was over and he
Well, that was the history that I had read up until when I wrote the book. There are a couple of histories about that case, and one of them says that, and that's why I inserted that into the book. What I'm telling you right now is my conclusion in the years since I wrote the book. But we're getting into minutiae. I don't want to lose our listeners here, Bill. But I appreciate the call. Thank you for bringing up this issue. It's an important one. We've got a few other callers here. I want to move along. Susan in Santa Cruz, speaking of Santas, the Santa Cruz County, we had a different tax rate than Santa, it was Santa Cruz. Hey, welcome, Susan. Anyway, here you are.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am great.
Good. Well, I have a kind of cold.
I'm alive and kicking. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a sort of a comment and a question. My comment is that I think things are just moving so fast that there's so much bad news every single day that it's really hard to digest what's going on, and let alone figure out what to do about it.
Well, these guys are stealing us blind as fast as they can because they know they may only have another 10 months to go.
Yeah, and I just sent you an email about that Valerie Plame thing because it's in the news again, and he's like not doing anything about it. My question has to do with, I heard, on the radio, on your radio station, about the kind of Patriot Act 2 kind of sneaking through in the middle of the night being, signed by the president, blah, blah, blah. And I don't get that. I don't get how anything is done in the middle of the night surreptitiously, concealed.
It's not actually Patriot 2. What's happened is pieces of this thing have been inserted in great big bills, that like the omnibus appropriations bill, uh-huh. The one that continues the government. They inserted a little piece in there, and nobody, it's like a 700-page bill or something like that. Nobody noticed it. So there have been several of the provisions of Patriot 2, and I don't have the list right in front of me at the moment, that have been enacted into law just in the last year. And that's how they do it. They the same way Bill Frist snuck that thing into the big appropriations bill 2 years ago that said that the vaccine manufacturers who've been putting mercury in their vaccines can't be held accountable. They no longer can be sued by anybody whose child was harmed by them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening, Susan.
Oh, it just seems like we would have to get awful organized, and have people researching all the time. Staying
yeah.
on top of everything.
Well, there are people. Yeah, you're
made.
Right, and there are people staying on top of that. And there's a lot of good Democrats out there who are aggressively doing that. Susan, thank you for the call.
I appreciate you.
You mentioned Valerie Plame. Let me just very quickly. Today is day 176 in the search for the traitor in the White House, the traitor who committed treason, according to the elder Bush, when he outed a CIA agent bringing down an entire multinational corporation that was a CIA front, possibly leading to the death of CIA agents or people associated with our intelligence apparatus, a CIA agent whose job was counterterrorism. And will we find the senior administration official who leaked this? Well, let's ask George Bush.
I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Dr. Pamela Bell is in Santa Fe, is on the line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi. thank you for your show, Tom. I went online a bit ago and was looking to find the other areas where IE America Radio is available, because I have a number of friends in Dallas and in other cities in California and so forth that I think would be very interested in listening to this radio show and particularly your program. I didn't find how to get them to be able to tune in.
Okay. If you go to TomHartmann.com, there's a link down on the left-hand side that says Your Town, and you click on that, and that'll give you some of that information. And if you have questions about specific cities, you can drop me a note. I don't think that the network has a list of all of its affiliates on its website at this moment. But I'd be glad to give you that information. Just drop me an email, Tom@TomHartmann.com.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Great.
I want to move along. I got a couple other calls here.
I have one other question, if I could, please. It
sure.
had to do with that when I did the search for IE America Radio, there was a link that indicated that IE American Radio was going to be going off the air.
Well, the network is for sale. We'll see what happens. This show is going to stick around no matter what. Don't worry about that. A network is just a delivery vehicle. And the IE American, we'll see. We'll see. I think that it's probably going to stick around. Thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartmann. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartmann. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartmann.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, Syria! Because they have weapons of mass destruction.
This is so much fun. Spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Price tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And dump the reds in a pile, boy. Dump the reds in a pile. You'd better wipe off that smile, boy. Better wipe off that smile. We'll spit through the streets of the cities we wreck, and we'll find you a leader that you can elect. Those treaties we signed were a pain in the neck. Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world.
Yes, indeed. Phil Oakes, welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Tom in St. Louis is on the line. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, Tom. Hey, you're on the air.
This is about our mutual friend, Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I used to be a professional athlete, and I have a bad back. And if Mr. Limbaugh's back is as bad as he has, you know, that he has to use 30 OxyContin a day to exist, the last thing in the world he would have ever done was take up golf.
Golf
is probably the worst sport for a fat middle-aged guy to take up with a excruciating back pain. So I really wonder if he ever had a bad back or whether he was taking OxyContin so he could play golf.
Frankly, I have to say, I don't care if people take OxyContin or any other drug. Frankly, I think that the whole idea of criminalizing drug behavior is nuts. This is a medical problem, and this guy had a medical problem. What's wrong is the hypocrisy of preaching strong drug laws and the incarceration of poor people who run afoul of drug addiction. And then when you run into your own drug addiction, saying, oh, but that's the Democrats trying to get me. I mean, that's where I just go tilt, you know.
Or had a back problem, because you can't play golf with a back that bad. You surely wouldn't take it up. That's my point, is I don't know if he ever had a bad back.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's interesting. Here, Louise just handed me this, the Associated Press on Saturday, January 3rd. This is a story that made it out onto the wires that wasn't supposed to. West Palm Beach, Florida. It says, please kill the story, Limbaugh painkillers, V9991. Rush Limbaugh has not been charged with doctor shopping. A kill is mandatory. Make sure the story is not used. And that story is what went out over the wires. So there's something happening out there. But, you know, like I said, I'm not so interested in his personal life as in his politics, which are tragic. Absolutely tragic. Tom, thank you for the call. Deborah in Santa Fe, if you want to hold the line through the news, we can pick you up on the other side, or you can drop the call and call back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Truth Arena.
listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The U.S. Army, stressed by far too many global deployments, is offering reenlistment bonuses of up to $10,000 to soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait, Army officials say. Soldiers currently in those countries and others headed there in the coming 3 months to replace them could receive lump payments of between $5,000 and $10,000 for enlisting for at least 3 years of additional Army service, the officials told reporters. The drive to keep troops came as the Army said it would prohibit soldiers serving in or rotating home from Iraq and Afghanistan this winter and spring from retiring or leaving the service for other reasons while there or for up to 90 days after returning to their home bases, otherwise known as a stop-loss order. The Halliburton Company has been cleared of any wrongdoing in a Kuwaiti fuel delivery contract that Pentagon auditors alleged overcharged the U.S. government by more than $100 million, according to the Wall Street Journal. The head of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Lieutenant General Robert Flowers, said Halliburton's Kellogg, Brown, and Root unit will not need to provide any cost and pricing data relating to a contract to deliver millions of gallons of gasoline from Kuwait to Iraq, citing a previously undisclosed December 19th ruling. The paper said Flowers' ruling came after lower-level Army Corps officials concluded that KBR had provided enough information to show it had bought the fuel and its delivery to Iraq at a fair and reasonable price. An advertising contest sponsored by the progressive online advocacy website MoveOn.org, dubbed Bush in 30 Seconds, generated some 1,500 submissions from videographers criticizing President Bush and his policies. The 15 television ads selected as finalists, produced in a range of non-Beltway locations, including Santa Barbara, California, Lawrence, Kansas, and Westland, Oregon, were selected by more than 2.9 million viewers who voted on the submissions, which appeared on the organization's website. The winning ad will be chosen by a panel of progressive activists, including filmmaker Michael Moore, and consultant James Carville, and announced at a gala in New York on January 12th. The ad will then air during the week of January 20th, when Bush delivers his State of the Union address. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Zambia said Monday it had given a controversial British writer 24 hours to leave the country for insulting their president, Levi Mwasa, and calling two of his ministers baboons. Home Affairs Permanent Secretary Peter Mumba said Roy Clark, a satirical writer for the privately owned Daily Post newspaper, was told Monday to leave Zambia.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit ieamericaradio.com or takebackthemedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Mixed emotions is what a doctor feels when he notices that his wife has begun eating an apple a day. These days, true conservatives are having mixed emotions about George W., who keeps strengthening the power of the federal police by weakening our right to individual privacy. The latest expansion of Big Brotherism by this so-called conservative president is a new law he pushed through Congress allowing FBI agents to go get your personal financial records without your approval or knowledge. The FBI already had been given the autocratic power to snoop through our bank records, but Bush's new law says the feds can secretly ransack the records held by our stockbrokers, car dealers, travel agencies, pawnbrokers, casinos, post offices, and all other places that do cash transactions. Oh, posh and tosh, retort the Bushites, this is only for suspected terrorists, so you have nothing to fear, unless, of course, you're a terrorist. There's the rub. Under their infamous USA Patriot Act, terrorist has been so broadly defined that it includes practically anyone that they or future governments want to go after. They do not even have to prove to a judge that they have probable cause to think that you're a terrorist. They simply file a, quote, national security letter with themselves, then go to it. All of this is done secretly without you knowing they're digging for dirt on you. Indeed, Bush pushed his new Big Brother law through a committee that met in secrecy without bothering to hear any concerns from the public. A guy who calls himself a conservative didn't deem it worthy to consult the people as he cavalierly rewrote the Fourth Amendment genius of Madison and other authors of one of America's most basic freedoms. One Bush backer in Congress dismissed any concern by saying this was really just a technical change. This is Jim Hightower saying, holy George Orwell, when they say that expanded police power is just technical, grab your Bill of Rights and run.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. It's the third hour of our program. I've got a collection of news things here that I want to go over with you, including how goes the war on terror and some more stuff about Home Depot and what's going on with Walmart. Lots of fascinating stuff and what the Bush administration is up to now, and we'll get to that. We got a few more moveon.org ads to share with you. But first, Deborah has been kind enough to hold on the line over the break. So, Deborah, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, you are on the air.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you so much for your program.
You're welcome.
I have a little bit of good news. I know there's been a lot of kind of negative news about the interface between police these days and activists, and here in New Mexico, in Santa Fe specifically, we're putting on our third police activist dialogue, where we have a facilitated dialogue between the police and the activist community. And
that's marvelous.
Everybody in Santa Fe who is even remotely an activist or a resident is welcome to come tonight, and we welcome them. It just some outstanding new understandings have developed from this, and we're very fortunate to have a very progressive police chief
How did this get started, Deborah? Was this initiated by the police or by some of the
actually,
activists?
Actually, it's a program that's being co-sponsored by the police and the organization I'm working with, which is the Department of Peace Initiative. We're trying to establish a Department of Peace here in New Mexico. And so one of the things we do are these sort of community-based dialogues with trained and professional facilitators in these talking circles and a mix of people who seem to be at odds coming to understandings and having a chance to see one another's points of view. And it's just been amazing. We just do not have the same kind of, you know, at odds dynamic with our police here. And you can imagine Santa Fe has a lot of demonstrations, a lot of activists.
Sure.
Activity.
So the police are actually sitting down. You've been in meetings where police officers have sat down with activists and found common ground.
Not just the police department, but the sheriff's department.
That's wonderful.
It's just, so you've got a couple of sheriffs and a police officer.
There is hope!
There is hope! And so I want to tell people who are listening who are in Santa Fe who'd like to come that we'd like you to be there at 6 o'clock tonight, and it's at St. John's Methodist Church on the corner of Cordova and Old Pecos Trail, and people are welcome.
That's great. Now, Deborah, this program is heard coast to coast. Is there a website that talks about this, or people who might want to think about doing something like this in their community could learn from your experience?
Yes, absolutely. They can contact the Department of Peace Initiative, which is www.department, spelled out, of peace, NM, as in New Mexico, .org. So it's
Department of Peace, NM.org.
NM.org, all spelled out, one word.
Great.
And
we'd be
happy to. We're going to work on a video to demonstrate these kinds of dialogues. But I tell you, it makes a big difference because, when you get down to what the common ground is of keeping the peace and extending peace, you know, which is the latter is, of course, our mission, then we just don't have that much to argue about. And it's a whole lot better dynamic. So,
and protecting
you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Deborah. I thank you for the call and thanks for sharing that. That's great news and a great way to start the new year. And it's one of the things that I so like about some of the candidates and some of the campaigns that are being run by the Democrats. Howard Dean, Dennis Kucinich, John Edwards, Dick Gephardt in particular. These guys, to me, seem like the core of their campaigns. While, they all acknowledge that George Bush's tenure in office has been a miserable failure in so many regards. I mean, just pick one. Economics, foreign policy, environment, the national forest, on and goes. Nonetheless, they have all put forward positive visions. Howard Dean the other day said that he believed, they asked him the question. I mean, the Republicans, you'll remember back 3 or 4 months ago, I told you that they had done their focus group work in the White House, and they had discovered that the word anger and angry was the word that in the focus groups caused people who might be Democrats or who were swing voters, the Reagan Democrats, to most recoil from Democratic candidates. And so they started applying the word angry, the adjective, putting that before the word Democrat, putting that before the word Howard, before the name Howard Dean, whenever possible. And it has stuck, just like the same way that George Bush would, in the same sentence, say, we're going to fight this war on terror, and we're going to go after Saddam Hussein, as if Saddam Hussein had anything to do with terrorism, which he didn't. He was just a local despot running a tin pot country, that happened to be sitting on 10% of the planet's oil. So, anyhow, so Howard Dean was asked the question, by somebody in the media, I think it was Chris Matthews, perhaps, but could be wrong. It was Candy Crowley, asked the question, as your campaign is all about anger, do you have anything else to offer, something to that effect? And he looked surprised and he said, this campaign is about hope and about the optimism, about the possibilities in America. And I think it's so important that we focus on those, that that there still is the possibility of recovering democracy in America. There still is a possibility of restoring equity and balance between labor and management in this country, between corporate power and labor power. I mean, we still can do it. It's not going to happen under the Bush administration. It's not going to happen with Republicans in control of the House and the Senate. But it is still possible. And it is still possible that we can restore environmental protection. It is possible that we could recreate, we could have an economic boom in this country that would make the computer revolution, or the, you know, the radio revolution of the Roaring Twenties, the computer revolution of the 1990s, look like peanuts by simply jump-starting the alternative energy industries and saying, okay, we're importing about half of our oil right now, and about a third of that is coming from Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states that are all dictatorships. They're kingdoms. And our goal is to not import any oil and to use the oil that we have domestically very, very carefully, only for those things that are absolutely essential. And instead, you know, start using solar and wind. And I mean, it's not like this technology is magic. It's not, you know, when Jimmy Carter first proposed this back 20 years ago, there was a lot of people who were saying, well, you know, it's possible, but we've got a ways to go. We don't have a ways to go anymore. The technology is here now. This stuff works. And what an economic boom it would create. So there's just tremendous possibilities for America. There's a tremendous future for America if we make the right choices. And, you know, unfortunately, this administration is stuck back in the 19th century. And, in the Gilded Age, where the politicians bowed to the corporate masters and oil and coal were king and nobody cared about pollution and, you know, on it goes. Here's another ad from MoveOn.org's website. Another one of the ads that's been submitted for consideration. This one's called Bankrupt.
Jobs lost, 2.4 million. Federal deficit, $455 billion. War in Iraq, 9,000 human lives. Friends left at the United Nations, free. America's future, bankrupt.
The time is now. Take our country back.
Isn't that sweet? That's great. There's some real genius out there and some extraordinarily creative people. You can see all these ads over at MoveOn.org. I had mentioned in the previous hour that apparently shopping at Home Depot helps raise money for the Bush administration. And for some people, that's probably a real positive thing, those who are big supporters of the Bush administration. For others, it may be a bit of a problem. But just to wrap up the details on that, Home Depot CEO Robert Nardelli, who flew up from Atlanta on December 5th to join Mr. Bush when he made a surprise visit at a Home Depot, nobody could figure out why, has made at least three trips to the White House since 2001. Home Depot's number two person, Executive Vice President Francis Blake, left his job as Bush's Deputy Energy Secretary in 2001 to become the number two person at Home Depot. And Karen Knutson, the wife of Home Depot's top in-house lobbyist, Kent Newsom, was a former top aide to Vice President Dick Cheney and deputy director of Cheney's Secret Energy Task Force. As noted by Frank Clementi, director of Public Citizens Congress Watch, quote, the president has managed to turn public policy pronouncements into free PR for his most generous political supporters. This is without parallel, this administration. It is without any doubt the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States. Nothing like it that I've ever seen. Michael in Santa Fe is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Hey, Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Morning, Tom. I want to talk about wealth and power. And I think the way I see it, the whole world is, I mean, wealth and power is what's causing the damage to the world. And we have like a logjam of wealth and power, which is the result of, you know, the last 100 years or 200 years of really accelerated progress. And now
progress?
We have this huge logjam of wealth and power.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's a result of progress. I think it's a result of essentially a takeover. Well, the founders clearly understood, and they fought the Revolutionary War against the British East India Company. I mean, in large part, the Boston Tea Party, which triggered the Revolutionary War, was because the East India Company was preparing to do a Walmart. They had just gotten a huge tax rebate from the British government. They were going to undersell all the local tea sellers in the United States in what was then the American colonies. With their tea. And the colonists said, no, we're not going to allow you to pull a Walmart here. And they went after them. So, you know, for the first 100 years of America, we had some sense of this. Lincoln had to suspend a lot of these laws during the Civil War in order to get
the money to be paid.
Okay.
How can we dissipate this concentration of wealth and power? I mean, how are we going to make these people give some of that up?
We need to do it the same way FDR did back in the 1930s. I mean, it's a very straightforward process. You enforce the Sherman Antitrust Act. I mean, it was first put into place in the 1880s. There have been several attempts since then, some of them quite successful. We need to revive the notions of our founders and of Franklin Roosevelt that capitalism and free enterprise are appropriate and healthy things, and they have to have certain constraints on them so they don't become like cancer and grow to the point where they eat the organism that supports them, which is this nation. And that's what's happening. I'll give you a couple of clips from Franklin Roosevelt about that after the break. Thank you, Michael, for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Heaven bent to take my hand and lead me through the fire. Be the long-awaited answer to a long and painful fight. Truth be told, I've tried my best somewhere along the way. I got caught up in all the world's to offer, and it cost me so much more than I could bear. Though I've tried.
Welcome back. Telling the truths that multinational corporations don't want you to know. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program brought to you today by the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECO-WINE. And Carol in Georgia is on the line. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Carol, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Carol?
Well, hey, I've been better. I was really upset, I guess, with that report I heard you talking about Home Depot and their management being apparently associated with our dear friends in Washington.
Yeah, shall we say in bed with Bush?
Mm-hmm. Well, we could put it that way.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I have stopped shopping at Lowe's and Walmart, because they are, of course, affiliated with one another, because of their treatment of their employees and their complete disregard for what their founder was. I remember Walmart when it used to be
Buy America.
Product Buy America, right.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam Walton's, that was his shtick, yeah.
And
in fact, the flags, well, never mind. I don't want to get into
it. Whatever.
Yeah.
I have purposely not shopped at Lowe's for that reason, because they are a subsidiary or affiliate, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Now, you're telling me I can't shop at Home Depot either.
No, you're welcome to shop at Home Depot.
I don't want to.
Please don't misunderstand me.
I'm welcome to shop anywhere.
Yeah.
That's not my point. My point is, I truthfully have been trying not to support any businesses that have
that are doing these things.
To destroy the things that I believe in.
Yeah, Carol, may I suggest that far more important than boycotting these individual companies, because the bottom line is that even in, well, to begin with, first of all, in many communities, people have no choice. You know, if I want to buy a pillow here in central Vermont, the only store that carries pillows anymore is Walmart. They've driven everybody else out of business. So, number one, you know, boycotts are not going to be successful because the monopolies have become monopolistic. But even, you know, the extent, I mean, there's a certain moral goodness that we get, that, you know, personal satisfaction that we get from boycotting companies whose practices we consider reprehensible. But I think the more important work is to notify our politicians that we want them to enforce the Sherman Act and the other laws that are on the books already that make the kind of activities that these companies are engaging in illegal. We want to go back to, you know, Jimmy Carter breaking up AT&T because they were violating the Sherman Antitrust Act.
I don't disagree with you, Tom, except I am not real sure how well that's going to work, because, like it or not, we've got a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate, and a Republican President.
I understand that, Carol, but I'm saying that our economic power is never going to be as great as the corporations, but our political power can be substantial.
Well,
don't give up on our political power.
I agree.
It's the only thing we've got. You know?
I tell you what, I am a very strong supporter of Howard Dean. I really do believe that I think he's going to need also the voters' help to elect some additional people in the House and the Senate.
Yeah. So we need to get politically active. That's the bottom line for me, Carol, is that, you know, and yes, I shop as much to the extent that I can only from local small companies. But the real activity that we have to do is political. That's where the real power is. Thank you for the call. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The black market in wild animals has some highly motivated participants. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Illegal trade in wild animals is a booming business, and it's one that threatens the survival of some species. For example, some parrots and reptiles are virtually extinct in the wild because so many have been captured and sold as exotic pets. Activists who want to stop the illicit trade say it's an uphill battle because the criminals are highly motivated. The profits from smuggling wildlife are high, and the penalties for getting caught are often very weak. Craig Hoover is Deputy Director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says many live animals fetch thousands of dollars on the black market. So do skins, horns, and other body parts. Hoover says people who illegally capture wild animals can make large profits, and so can the people who work as middlemen and sellers.
It has been estimated that the wildlife trade ranks right up there, very close to the drug trade and the trade in weapons, as far as the amount of profit that can be made on individual transactions.
Hoover says some developing countries punish poaching with just a small fine or a few days in jail, and he says the illegal trade was not a serious crime in some developed countries until recently.
Fortunately, that is changing, and we're seeing stricter penalties handed down, and we're seeing people going to jail for several years, where it used to be a relative slap on the wrist.
Hoover says consumers have a big role to play in stopping the illegal wildlife trade. He says it starts by asking a few questions and refusing to buy animals or animal products without knowing where they come from. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
We'll be right back.
the best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, on the day he was tried, no witness testified, nothing but evidence, not hard to falsify. His own confession was the prosecutor's pride, made up of fear of rage and of outright lies. But I'm not the man.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. The last of the ads that really had it, that weren't entirely dependent on visuals. There are a few of the move-on ads that just wouldn't work on the radio. The last of the ones that had a good solid audio component to them is called Army of One. Let me share this with you. Keep in mind, the Republican National Committee has put a couple of these, former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie, head of the RNC, personal letter on the RNC.org website, you know, about how horrible it is that these people are saying George Bush is like a Nazi. Anyhow, here we go.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
Lancers, bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say an army of one?
Yeah, apparently it is. So, moving along, well, I wanted to get back to Michael's point. And this is, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who feel like, because we lack the long view, you know, our history classes are really quite deficient. And there are a lot of people who feel very despairing. They think that this point in time is absolutely unique. It's never been this bad before. This is absolutely terrible. These people are beyond the pale. All of that, of course, is true. And yet, this country has been there before, has been here before. John Adams, with his Alien and Sedition Act in 1798, was worse than anything in the Patriot Act. And we recovered from it. The excesses, the corporate excesses, back before the Senate was elected, during the Gilded Age in the 1880s, you know, the Senate was not elected. It was appointed, the senators were appointed by the states, by professional politicians. And it was incredibly corrupt, entirely, exclusively dancing to the tune of corporate masters. And what came as a result of that, in 1872, the Republican Party split into two factions. One became the populist movement, and the other became the Republicans who went corporate on us. And the populists then brought about the Sherman Antitrust Act. They brought about the vote for women. They brought about a whole series of reforms. The direct election of the Senate in 1917. All of these came about as the result of people saying, you know, I've had enough. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I mean, as the bottom line, only doing it rationally and doing it through the political process. And it rose up again in the 1920s. Again, the corporations rose up and took control of the government, and the Great Depression crashed it down, and out of that came Franklin Roosevelt. And Franklin Roosevelt, in his 1936 acceptance speech in Philadelphia, when he was renominated to run again for President of the United States, the Democratic Party, he had some observations about this. And first of all, he starts out talking about, what does liberty mean? What does freedom mean?
That very word, freedom, in itself and of necessity suggests freedom from some restraining power. In 1776, we sought freedom from the tyranny of a political autocracy, from the 18th century royalists who held special privileges from the crown.
And then he goes on to say that now the royalists are back, new kind.
But since that struggle, man's inventive genius released new forces in our land, forces which reordered the lives of our people. The age of machinery, of railroads, of steam and electricity, the telegraph and the radio.
See, this is all the new stuff then.
Mass production.
Now we've got computer,
all of
internet.
These combined to bring forward a new civilization.
All happening
and
again.
And with it a problem for those who sought to remain free. For out of this modern civilization, economic royalists carved new dynasties. New kingdoms were built upon concentration of control over material things. Through new uses of corporations and banks and securities, new machinery of industry and agriculture, of labor and capital, all undreamed of by the fathers, the whole structure of modern life was impressed into this royal service.
He goes on to say it became a little too private. It sought its own power.
Private enterprise, indeed, became too private. It became privileged enterprise, not free enterprise.
And that is what has happened now, is that private enterprise, free enterprise, as George Soros writes in his book, The Crisis of Capitalism, of Modern Capitalism, our private enterprise has run amok, as Roosevelt
the
says.
The royalists I have spoken of, the royalists of the economic order, have conceded that political freedom was the business of the government. But they have maintained that economic slavery was nobody's business.
And as they are now, again, they're saying, hey, you know, it's the government has no role in labor relations.
They granted that the government could protect the citizen in his right to vote, but they denied that the government could do anything to protect the citizen in his right to work and his right to live.
And those are appropriate parts of the commons, so Roosevelt says.
These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America.
But not so.
What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. Our allegiance and our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power.
And Carol, that was the point that I was making, that through the political system we can take away the power of a Walmart, but not, you're not going to do it by just not shopping there, although that's a good thing.
In vain they seek to hide behind the flag and the Constitution.
But they've forgotten the meaning, Roosevelt says.
But in their blindness, they forget what the flag and the Constitution stand for.
Then he goes on to point out that they stand for economic freedom as well as political freedom.
Now, as always, for over a century and a half, the flag, the Constitution, stand against a dictatorship by mob rule and the overprivileged alike. And the flag and the Constitution stand for democracy, not tyranny, for freedom, not subjection.
And there you have it. And you know, he pulled it off. Yeah, the changes in America, Franklin Roosevelt created the middle class in America as we know it. It had never existed before in this country. People were, by and large, up until the 1930s, until the tail end of the Great Depression, either quite rich or quite poor. And the only thing close to the middle class, what today we would call the middle class, were those people who had farms, you know, who were relatively independent. And even those, life was tough. Life was really, really difficult. And And by saying, by coming in and saying, we're going to change the rules of the game. If businesses want to play the game of business in this nation, if they want to make use of our courts, if they want to make use of our currencies, if they want to make use of the resources that we have here in the United States, if they want to make use of an educated workforce that we're providing with our public school systems, then they have to cede to us, to we the people, the right to make sure that they are behaving in a way that is supportive of the institutions of democracy and freedom, number one. And number two, that they're paying their fair share. That they're paying the part of the commons. That, you know, if they're using that educated workforce, they should pay for part of creating the education of those people. If they're using our streets, then they should pay for them. If they are using our commons, they should pay for that. And corporations should be taxed. Well, now we have an administration, the Bush administration, that openly says corporations should not be taxed at all. Zero. And this is just, I mean, this is just so the opposite of what is best for America. It is so the opposite of what promotes democracy. We are turning into a tin horn banana republic where an oligarchic set of small families or a small number of families or a small number of large corporations control the government. And it's out of control. It's out of control, and it's extremely deadly to democracy. And that's why we have to get involved in politics and directly. I mean, call area code 202-224-3121, and you can talk to your congressman, your congresswoman, your senator. You can leave a message for the President of the United States. And you may not be able to actually get through to your elected official, but you can get through to people who will speak to them, and your message will be heard. They take phone calls very seriously. It's 1-202-224-3121 is the main switchboard in Washington, D.C. for the Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House. 1-800-TALK-YES is the phone number for our program. And John in Palm Desert, California is on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Tom. I really enjoy your program. It's very educational.
Thank you.
Wanted to call a little bit about the Gillespie and the Republican National Congress and the Move On Org advertisement.
Right. Yeah, the Republicans are just lying. I mean, they're saying that Move On has sponsored this ad saying that Bush was like Hitler, and the reality is that they haven't sponsored anything. They've been running a contest. Pardon?
It gets better than that. Are you familiar with the author Eric Alterman?
Media? Sure.
Yeah, I'm a regular visitor on his blog site, and yesterday he posted a very interesting opinion article on the New York Post from Ralph Peters.
I haven't
seen it. Directly comparing Dean to Goebbels.
Dean to Goebbels?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, that's interesting.
Here's a quote out of it. These are techniques employed by Hitler's brown shirts. Had Goebbels enjoyed access to the Internet, he would have used the same swarm tactics as Dean's flannel shirts.
Well, yeah, so would Roosevelt. I mean, you know, it's like, what? Because somebody is making use of media doesn't mean that they're making use of media for evil purposes.
Exactly. Well, it's primarily the idea that people want to get... or Dean supporters want people to stop attacking Dean in leading up to the words of the primary. And he's saying that Dean telling these people to be quiet or supporters telling people to be quiet is tantamount to suppression of freedom of speech.
Yeah, that's nonsense. First of all, Dean has never said be quiet. Dean pointed out that the extent to which Democrats eat their young, that they attack each other, those exact quotes will be used by the Republicans later on. They're just harming themselves. He's saying the same thing Ronald Reagan was saying when he was running in his first election, in his first primary.
Absolutely. I just find it very interesting that to compare Bush to Hitler, you have to go online to find it. While if you want to compare Dean to Hitler, you can find it in the New York Post.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
or at least in the online edition.
Yeah.
You can find the site on Eric Alterman's weblog. I think it's just MSNBC.com/.
Okay, so it wasn't Eric Alterman who wrote this article.
Hmm?
It wasn't no, Eric Alterman. You had me totally disoriented there for a minute, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You were saying,
I'm sorry. No.
Eric Alterman was comparing Dean with Hitler, and I was like, whoa, what happened to him?
No, Alterman wasn't doing that. He was he points out articles from the right, or at least sort of supporting the what liberal media argument. And this one was by Ralph Peters in the New York Post. If you want to find a link to it and get your blood pressure boiling, you can go to Eric Alterman's weblog and check it out.
Yeah, fascinating. John, thank you. Thank you for that. It's appreciate the call. It's just incredible. It's just the New York Post saying the dean is like Goebbels. I mean, it's you look at what he's calling for. I mean, Goebbels was calling for the extermination of an entire race of people. He was calling, or an entire religion, or whatever. He was calling for. He was calling for the you know, declaring war on other nations. We shouldn't even dignify it with a response. Randy in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Randy, we got about a minute left here in this segment. I can hold you over the break if you need. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks very much for taking my call. I just wanted to point out, I'm a small business owner, and I want your listeners to understand and maybe explode a myth that not all business people are wealthy or rich. There's a lot of us out here that you know, support everything that you're talking about, and obviously we're concerned about big business. But
I agree.
We're also...
I absolutely agree. Randy, do you want to hang on over the break, or have you made your point?
I've made it.
Okay. I'll amplify it then after the break, because I absolutely agree with you, and I'm a small businessman too. and that's the heart and soul of America. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on Ultra Lipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with Ultra Lipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of Ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The
Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware. John Seip from United Marketing Force. Jay Brentlinger from Orban. And, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show. Take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years. So join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. Closer to where I started, chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you.
And welcome back, where despair is not an option. Get active. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Thanks to Louise Hartman for producing this program here in Vermont, to John Lucas and Bill Vellner for running the board, engineering the program in Detroit, for Brad Walrod for putting together our music in New York City, and special thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up today and hanging out. Also thanks to our sponsors, Organic Wine Company, Small Dog Electronics, and the Newsletter Factory. Now, you know, what Randy said, Randy in Santa Fe, about being a small businessman, let me just give you a quote. This is from Teddy Roosevelt at the Ohio Constitutional Convention in 1912. He says, "The great mass of business is, of course, done by men whose business is either small or of moderate size. The middle-sized businessmen form an element of strength which is literally incalculable to the nation. Taken as a class, they are among our best citizens. They have not been seekers after enormous fortunes. They have been moderately and justly prosperous by reason of dealing fairly with their customers, competitors, and employees." And he goes on to talk about how wonderful that is. Then he says, "So much for the small businessman and the middle-sized businessman. Now for big business. It is imperative to exercise over big business a control and supervision which is unnecessary as regards small business. Big business in the past has been responsible for much of the special privilege which must be unsparingly cut out of our national life." He goes on to say, "The important thing is this, that under such government recognition, we shall be most vigilant never to allow big business to crystallize into a condition which shall make private initiative difficult. It is the utmost importance that in the future we shall keep the broad path of opportunity just as open and easy for our children as it was for our fathers." And, you know, he goes on to talk about that. "We grudge no man a fortune." He said, we stand for the rights of property, but we stand even more for the rights of man. "We will protect the rights of the wealthy man, but as maintains that he holds his wealth, but we maintain that he holds his wealth subject to the general right of the community to regulate its business use as the public welfare requires. Theodore Roosevelt, 1912. We have been there before, friends, and we have made it through. We will make it through again. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks so much for joining me today. And tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. See you then.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
To see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.